No,
hold on. It's a weird time. It's a crazy, crazy time.
Are we rolling?
Oh, wait, what? Yeah. How'd you know? Yeah, we are rolling.
Oh, boy. I don't know if we can start the show like this, but we'll give it a try. After that heavy, heavy talk we just had. Welcome to Loserly's Wrestling. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with Mowat Jaswal. Mowat, are you okay?
I'm doing great, Red. I'm doing great. We're going to bring this energy up. I'm ready.
No,
I'm ready.
Let's keep it weird. Let's have this awkward gloom.
I refuse, and you know why I refuse? Because this is one of the best Dynamite episodes I've seen ever.
Wanaway?
Maybe that's hyperbole. Maybe that's too much. But there were a lot of great things in it.
There's a lot of interesting things in it. I'll give you that. I just realized I have too many what's. Because I have some what's. I had too many what's. This is the first Dynamite in weeks that I had to like cut down on my what's.
Wow.
We're never gonna agree. I love the fact that like we eventually touch similar interests and then eventually you just diverge again. We never gonna stay at the same mark for too long.
You felt like over the last couple weeks we're getting closer to having a perfect list.
Yeah, it was that... like mind meld. We were so close. We were getting there. Then we just
that happens every time I play that game. Every time I
mind meld.
Yeah, it's infuriating because
it's my least favorite improv game. It really is.
Yeah.
Too much pressure.
Yeah. That's my experience with improv in general. Just too much pressure. Can't handle it.
Too much pressure. Well, what? Fuck it. Fuck improv. That cult. We get out of here. With this Loserly's Wrestling, where we're going to talk about the woos and whats. The woos and whats of Dynamite. We just finished it. And here we are talking to all y'all. Let's start it off hot. Mowat, what's your biggest woo of the evening?
Well,
your big woo.
I can't. This is a great episode for wrestling, in my opinion. I thought there were lots of really great matches for what they were trying to do. But I can't not start with the MJF Jericho song and dance routine. It was too good. Too fun. And
I couldn't even believe it.
And I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before in wrestling. I could very well be wrong. I know they've done like song and dance style, but not like straight up musical number like this, like with the dancers and everything. It was amazing.
It was a real joke I've heard before, like from like TV, like it's a Family Guy joke they do all the time with Stewie and Brian, where they just immediately go into that type of song and dance style.
Yeah,
have you seen that before?
But
like the fact that they did it on TV and the amount of production. The amount of production that went into that, I loved it, but I guess I was a little bit in the middle. It's in my best. Oh, by the way, it is my woo
okay,
as well.
Good.
It
good.
Is in
I was
my
about
woo.
To be like, this
it's
is 100%
my
the
woo.
One mind meld we have. This is it. This is all we got.
It's definitely a woo. It's just that, I don't know, I kind of didn't hear any of the lyrics. I was too busy studying how tired Jericho looked.
Yeah, they were both... They both stumbled around. Now, I guess I didn't consider
MJF was perfect.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I guess I didn't see tired. I just saw just awkwardness, just stumbling between both of them. But that's actually why I liked it so much. Was they clearly don't know what the hell they're doing, but they're doing it anyways. They're trying to do like the moves that they can, you know, get away with. And I just thought that was very charming. It added this endearing quality to it.
I'm so excited to see what Wampus did. I can never expect anything from them. You know, I there's no way I'm able to find out or predict what they're going to be doing next week.
Yeah.
I had no idea this was going to happen. I had no idea the past, every single time they've interacted, they've always surprised me. From the very first time that they walked away from each other from the limo and they both said idiot, they did the split screen idiot.
Yeah. I need to know.
It just keeps getting better.
I need to know who's doing this. Who's in charge of these things, because they're all wonderful. And I love it because the announcers don't know what's in store, because that's what they were saying the whole of last episode, of like, dinner debonair, if you want to know what that means, I have no idea. Tune in next week. We'll all find out. Something like, Excalibur said something to the effect, you know, and I think that's wonderful that they just keep surprising everybody.
Yeah. Great job. Really great job. I don't know why I pooped on them immediately. It was great. It was amazing. It was probably one of the most fun things I've seen in wrestling. Maybe one of the like top fun things I've seen in wrestling, like top 10.
Yeah, I need to see it again, I think, because the first one was just such a shock and surprise that it was just hard. I fell in love with it, you know. And you're right, I couldn't hear any of the lyrics, and the dancing was awful and potentially misogynist, but it was just so shocking that they would even do this in the first place. And the first like little like comedy routine they did of like baked potato, 20-ounce steak with a baked potato. Yeah. Raw.
I'm gonna scratch that, Thelma. Like just the little quips in between. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Very fun. Great job. Great job, MJF and Y2J. You're my two favorite duo. Great, best duo. That, yeah. What's your next big woo of the evening, Moa? What's your best?
Oh, it sounds like you're... Did you want to go? You want to go next? It sounds like you want.
No. You... Well, I do kind of want to go because I had this thing that I had in mind, but then I realized I shouldn't because we both agreed on the last one.
That's... You got to follow the rules. Caffeine. Yeah. You got to follow the FTR, Red. FTR. If we agree, then that FTR? Means I go next. Follow the
FTR was your next one?
No. I'm saying we should follow the rules. It was a dumb joke.
Oh, follow the rules. I was gonna be like, FTR was not. I was gonna be so upset.
No, I was just making a dumb joke, wrestling related okay, joke. This is the only place I could say FTR as a joke. Number two, I liked the Moxley and Kingston promos. I'm just packaging both of them together. I think because it's the same topic essentially, and they both kind of hit this, like the same. Reasons why I liked it, which is bringing in personal connections of each other and using great imagery in them. The two I wrote was Mox saying, I'm going to beat and torture you until I get my friend back, which I thought was wonderful.
Which is beautiful.
Really beautiful. Yeah. And then Kingston, do you think I like myself? Do you think I like what I became? I can't look at myself in the mirror, he says. And I think that's, he just, like that Kingston twist, that little add of personal touch, you know, of like, that's makes it so much more tragic knowing that little hint of character of like, he's not just like one dimensional villain, whatever he's trying to become, you know, he appears to be, he's tortured inside, and I think that's great. Yeah.
And I feel like this feud specifically started off terribly. I really hate how this feud started off, personally, with the weird, awkward, like, I'm your friend, John, blah, 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 that he hits him in this weird shop. It was a weird hit. Everything about it was weird. But this week, they really picked it up. Really, yeah, amazing promos by both of them. I think it's Eddie Kingston's best thing he's done since he debuted.
Yeah.
Like, I think this was, like, a really great promo. I love the lighting. The lighting when they were facing Kingston, where they had this big orange thing, but there's this, like, little blue light.
Yeah.
Like, it was perfect. Amazing. Great job. I'm actually excited for the match, too. Even though Eddie Kingston, I've realized not to get my hopes up with the match of his. But, like, this, it's going to be a I Quit match, which I'm excited for just because... I like the idea of them with their storyline.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not, I don't know. He's an okay wrestler. He doesn't, like, there's so many insanely impressive wrestlers today that I think potentially due to his age, like he's kind of getting up there in years. It's not as exciting in ring, but what he brings, again, is emotion and story. If he has a story to hook onto, then he's, it's killer. So hopefully with something like this, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of build up, like, just a couple weeks, and it's kind of hit the same note for the last couple weeks, but of like, you're my friend, we are partners, you're supposed to, inmates, and you took us out of the inn, that whole thing, but I think this has potential to be great.
Yeah, very excited, and great job. You know what, I'm happy for both of them, and Moxley's been on fire.
Yeah.
Moxley's been just consistently, and I'm upset by it. I want to dislike him because I hated him in WWE. But now he's really proving me wrong. Really proving me wrong. Moet, we're two for two there. Moet, you're going to go on to our third one and make it the three-peat?
I don't know. So I liked the whole, what do you call it? The tournament. For the belt or whatever the hell. What is the tournament for?
Yeah.
God damn it.
The Eliminator tournament.
Why did I just stumble on that? Yeah, I like...
You did the JR. JR did that three times in this episode, and he's just like, it's a mouthful, folks. It's a mouthful.
Yeah, that was... Yeah. I do not want to become JR, ever. This current version of JR. I need to stay away.
Your hair gets long enough, it just forms a black cowboy
hat. It just fills around.
It just slowly turns into one.
That's hilarious. That's a great idea. But, no, I like...
Mow it. That's a sketch.
No, I'm serious. I'm going to write that down. That's great. We got to talk about this later.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, I liked every match in that tournament. I think they all did great things in different ways. So, actually, the rest of my... woos are just the matches in more or less order that I liked, except for one. I didn't like one, but we'll get to that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about the one you didn't like, but you go for it.
First one, I liked Jungle Boy versus Wardlow. I thought it was just very quick paced, simple storytelling of like quick athletic Jungle Boy versus Big Wardlow. Sorry. I'm just looking at your face and it's taking me off my game because I feel like you did not like this match.
No, it's not that I didn't like this match. It's that I think you're trying to make up for the past few weeks when you had no wrestling matches in your woos. And now you're like, oh, the next three are going to be wrestling matches.
I was so determined to make it like all wrestling this week, and then MJF and Jericho ruined everything for me.
Well, the whatchamacallit, their match, I was very happy that they there's a different match. That was a very different match than what we've been getting recently. And it's interesting to see Wardlow. I thought it was a very good match. I have a question for you. What do you think of Wardlow?
I think
he's great.
He's great. He's gigantic but and athletic. He can do things that I've never seen before. I've never seen that F10 before. And that's
sure.
That's a gift. When he can pull it off on some, like on Jungle Boy, like a smaller person is great. Yeah. What do you think of him?
One of the thing is, this is almost certainly me being nitpicky. This is almost certainly me being nitpicky. I think he sells too little. Too little for Jungle Boy. He's not that tall.
Oh, wait, too little? You said...
Yeah, he sold too little. Wait, too much? Too little. So essentially, Jungle Boy was coming at him, like, with everything in this match. And from the beginning, he just kept hitting him with things. That should knock someone at 6'4" down.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know, like, he's not... Brody Lee, he's not like someone that's really like almost hit in 7 foot. I feel like the amount of offense Jungle Boy made Jungle Boy look like shit a little bit.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't see that personally because to me the physical appearance of both of them told that story for me immediately.
Sure, where, like, that's true.
I like the guy just looks incredible, so I believe that he can be that monster character that they're sort of trying to build him to. And so it worked for me. I thought Jungle Boy just kind of like he looks smaller and weaker compared to Wardlow, and so yeah, it makes sense fair. To me why his offense didn't hit. He had to be creative with his offense too.
Yeah, no, to you're right. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. It's just that I guess there's something about Wardlow that I'm not liking. I'm not picking up what he's putting down. He's starting to rub me the wrong way.
Is it the man bun? Is it that? Is it the hipster haircut?
I don't mind the man bun. It's his face. His face doesn't look like he cares. He just doesn't look like he cares enough. He comes out and he does this little thing and he's in the ring and he's no facial
emotions at all. He's always screaming. He's constantly screaming. He's going, meh. No, he's showing his teeth.
He's doing that. He's doing that stuff, but I don't see anything with his face. His face looks disinterested.
Wait, all right. And tell me one wrestler that does more with their face.
Colt Cabana. He's all over the
Colt
place.
Colt Cabana with his face. Get out of here. He's good in other
ways. Jungle Boy does stuff with his face. He looks determined at times, and then he looks like desperate. You know? Everyone does. Luchasaurus has better facial expressions.
All right. We'll table this. We'll table it.
All right, now moving on. Since we disagree with that woo, my next woo... is Kenny Omega all night, every night. That was the best. That was so great. From the entrance, from what Jason Roberts, where he's just like, he had a match in South Carolina once.
Hey, North Carolina. He mentioned North Carolina. I remember that because it was so specific to my, you know, home state. I was like,
geographical location.
Why would they bring that up? Yeah. Sorry.
And then his quick match with Sunny. I was so pleased. Moet, you couldn't imagine how happy I was having these 40-minute matches on AEW Dynamite. And then I get a good, simple, he caught him. I caught them, you know? Kenny Omega caught them. He grabbed them, finished them fast. Super fast. I loved it. I loved it so much.
I liked it a lot as well. I think one of my what's, which I'll just bring up now, I think, if you'll let me, because there's not much to say.
If you'll let me, you dictator.
Of all the people, I hate that Sonny Kiss got that treatment. I think Sonny's barely on TV. He's on Dark a little bit, but he needs a bigger moment. Like, he deserves better, I think. And it's frustrating to me. Like, they could have put anyone in. I would have been really happy that if Joey Janela was the one that got that squash, I wouldn't have cared at all. But that's just one caveat that just, like, ruined it a little.
If I may. The first thing, Joey Janela. I'm just so tired of Joey Janela. I do not want to give him any... No offense. He's fine.
No, me too. But that's why it would be great if he got squashed.
No. The reason I like Sonny Kiss getting squashed is because... And the reason why, you know, like Kofi Kingston lost against Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar lost against Goldberg, you could beat someone super fast and they won't lose legitimacy. It's like, oh, you caught them off guard. As soon as Kenny Omega got in the ring, got the upper hand, finished the match immediately. So you could lay a suspension to the fact that, well, what? Sonny Kiss was distracted. Sonny Kiss wasn't ready. Sonny Kiss got caught off guard. Bing, bang, boom. You lost one big in the beginning. What this allows is, as Kenny Omega goes on, this is going to be Sonny Kiss's first big feud.
Potentially.
This is going to be Sonny Kiss's first big feud, because I see Kenny Omega going on, and it's going to be him versus Hangman, and maybe Sonny Kiss stops him from winning. Or maybe something like that. Or maybe even further in the future, Kenny Omega goes on, he wins the championship, and then Sonny Kiss is comes out. I see this as an opportunity for Sonny Kiss to fight at a different level.
I like your enthusiasm. I like where you think this is going. I like your positive attitude. I don't think any of that's going to happen. I don't.
Oh, come on.
But what I do, I hadn't thought of it that way. I think a lot of my issues with the episode today were my anticipation of what I think the match could have been, or what the performer could have done, and what we got. But you're right. I think it's not that big. I guess it's not that big of a deal, depending on where they go with it. With Sonny Kiss.
It's so refreshing to have a short match, though.
Oh, no, I do. Yeah. I guess my anticipation was just frustrating that, like, Sonny Kiss is barely on Dynamite and has no storyline. He barely has one with Joey Janela, so like I'm just hoping for something more. But otherwise, the squash was great, and I like all the pompous bullshit around it. It was really great.
Yeah. And what's nice, though, even though that AEW does drop a lot of things from one week to the next, they don't drop opportunities, because the wrestlers kind of, they have a say in their creative. And now Sonny Kiss is like, oh, he got one over on me. I should eventually retaliate. Like, he could say to Tony Khan, they could say to Tony Khan, oh, like, I have a legit thing here. They're a part of the creative team for their character. So I see it's almost inevitable that Kenny Omega is going to have a feud with Sonny Kiss now.
Yeah.
I almost guarantee within the next month, they're going to have an interaction.
That's interesting. I hope so. I hope you're right.
I think Tony Khan's good with that stuff.
Yeah.
I think Tony Khan's good with that stuff. He's not good with making these big brash creative decisions about a specific character that go nowhere, like fucking Jake Roberts getting his titties slapped by Brian Cage. What was he doing? Like, I forget what it was.
Hey, this back is the titty back. He got rain on his back. Yeah, it was stupid.
I thought it was his chest. It was his back.
No, he threw him the back. Yeah.
Well,
moving on.
what's our next woo? What do we got?
The squash was one of mine, which is fun. So, yeah, then the last one, I think, in that case, was I guess also kind of throwing it all together, which was the Hangman Page versus Colt match. But starting with that promo, which John Silver stole the show on that, first of all. He acted like a little Hulk Hogan, just like hopped up on Diet Mountain Dew. It was wonderful.
I didn't understand John Silver until this moment, until this very moment, when he took the mic and he goes into this really good promo, at, like just about, we don't like you, but of course you're going to win. Then we're going to win. And then Mr. Brody Lee is going to win. And then he just starts flexing. Like, amazing. Amazing. And he shined in this match. He shined.
Colt did?
What?
Oh, I was talking about the Colt and
Hangman. No, in his match. I'm saying he shined in his match.
Oh, okay.
But we won't talk about that. But yeah, Colt, and also Colt. I love Colt's matches. I like Colt's moves. I like Colt's storytelling. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was really smart to have him do a promo before the match because it feels like one issue with tonight's episode as well is that just about every match felt predictable. Like, of course, Adam Page is going to win so he can face Kenny Omega. So that nothing was very exciting as far as the outcome. So I think it was smart that Colt had a promo because it gives just the simple idea of just hearing another human discuss why they want to win a match makes me want to root for him. It just gives a little bit of empathy to be like, oh, yeah, okay, now he's going for something, you know, he's trying to prove something. So if he didn't have that, it would have just felt like a glorified squash match. But now it felt like there was some drama to it of like he can't let John Silver down. He's got to win, you know, poor John Silver.
No, but there's so many things that could happen with this, which I'm excited about. Touch on something, the fact that we know who's going to be in the finals of this. But I'm so curious, because this is a very interesting tournament, and especially with what happened with Kenny Omega and Sonny, and what's happening with the Dark Order and Colt. Like, after the match, they took Colt away, almost like, are you okay? Like, very taking care of him, being very gentle. And I had this thought about what Colt Cabana's character is, or where his place is in the Dark Order. Because Dark Order is a cult, right?
Yeah.
Dark Order is a cult. And Colt Cabana is the Tom Cruise to their Scientology.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of like, oh, look how great this guy, look how great he is. He's so funny. He's not really a part of us, but he hangs out with us. You know, he's cool. He's not, don't worry about him. You know, like, it's this weird a dichotomy where they want to protect him and he's always so favorable to him. And I'm curious, like, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this tournament, but I feel like either Sonny Kiss is going to get involved with Kenny Omega to cost him, or Dark Order is going to come in to help. I see Hangman Page winning, and I see Dark Order standing behind Hangman Page.
That's an interesting concept. I personally don't think that's going to happen, because AEW has sort of like they have a rule of like almost never allowing DQ finishes or like shady finishes to happen. Like, it feels almost over strict on how they do that. I think it's just going to be a straightforward match at the pay-per-view and push whatever storyline they want of like Kenny becoming the cleaner or whatever it's going to be, you know.
I just think for fun storytelling to not have a clean win here. I don't think there should be, because I want their story to go on longer, and I want it to eat away at Kenny.
Yeah. Yeah, he came out too cocky and confident. I wonder where that's going to bite him in the butt. I wonder where that's going to go. Or if he's just going to destroy everyone, that could be just as good. He was on that tear, like, in 2018 or whatever it was. So, like, he should be that good. He should be the best in the world. He just dropped the ball over the last year, or just had other priorities, so.
Yeah. I guess they're just building. Well, the thing is, I'm happy that the Elite didn't just rise to the top. They knew their stance. They realized they have to get other people over first. They're confident they could get themselves over, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I appreciate the way they did it. They had Cody be the top-ish, Cody and Moxley, and then they just kind of hung out on the sides waiting their turn.
Yeah. More or less, yeah. I think they missed a lot of opportunities, especially with Kenny.
Yeah.
I think it was a silly move, unless there were just personal reasons I'm not aware of. Like, maybe he just wanted some time off or had a lot of backstage like business roles to deal with. But as far as just what we're seeing in the product, like, I think they missed some major momentum he had from New Japan. Mm-hmm. But hopefully he's bringing that back.
Hopefully
now.
They could build something. Yeah. Because he looked great. He looked great and he looked confident. And I love when he has that attitude.
Yeah.
His body moves differently. He becomes like a, I keep using Tim Burton character, but he looks like he's made a claymation when he's like antsy and he's walking with his shoulders stooped, you know?
Yeah. I guess my childhood influences are anime. So I think I see him as an anime character, anime villain.
Oh, sure. At his best. He's 100%. Yeah. He's Vegeta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember Vegeta?
I do remember Vegeta. I just...
Am I right? Is that the guy? He's like the Goku's nemesis, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I just...
I just see him shaking, like, arms flailing, pointing.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. Yeah, yeah. Anything from that old school style of anime where it's, like, barely animated at all. It's like a glorified, just, like, PowerPoint presentation in those animes, which is like single motions of just them staring and just like the mouth moving. That was basically Kenny in New Japan.
And Keith Lee is Majin Buu.
Yes, this is big dude. Yeah.
Big dude. And my last woo of the evening is Arn Anderson getting out of that limo, which was very funny.
Paint the picture. Paint it.
So this limo pulls up. And they're like, oh, who's in the limo? And then he opens, and then it's Arn Anderson, his legs sticking out first like a turtle, and you see him grasp. I struggle with that same thing, but it's so funny to see another big person try to get out of a car, and it's like their butt's big, they're trying to get their weight pushed forward.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, and then Cody got out and Cody did a promo.
The promo was pretty good, but Arn said something funny. I think it's like Tony mentions how Cody has gained 14 more pounds, and Arn had a really funny reaction to it. Do you remember? He's just like, oh, he's a big boy, or something like, oh, he's gone big, oh yeah, or something like really weird.
He used a word I've never heard before to describe someone being buff.
Yeah.
He's like, he's bloked.
Yeah, yeah.
He's bloked for sure. Like, what does that mean?
That took me out a little bit, but it was good. I need somebody to say, you know, follow me around and hype up my gains whenever.
Just need a... A little Flavor Flav, yeah, like, just runs around.
Someone be like, he's big! I need that.
He's bloated, yeah. This guy. Alright, what a great woos. Those were a lot of fun. And Moet doesn't have too many, but I got a plenty. We're going to the what's, Moet. Yeah. What is your big what of the evening?
So this one is potentially controversial. I don't know. I'm going to say Penta versus Phoenix is my first issue with the show.
Mine too.
Really? Because
mine too.
I'm trying to, and it's something where like I need to watch it again, I think, because it was my anticipation for it, what I expected was going to happen, was so off the charts, because I've seen them in all these different promotions and all over the place, so I just know what they're capable of, and so it just felt like they were not hitting those gears that I know they could do. So like I think it's a good match. I bet it's actually way better than I thought it was, because they still did some really impressive stuff, but they were just slow. Like for me, I think it kind of felt like Pentagon was like gassed in the first half. Like I just saw him just breathing heavily and just kind of like missing a beat, you know, in the movesets. And then in the second half, it looked like Phoenix got hurt somehow. I missed it off of something. He hit his head, because all of a sudden the match just slowed down and they were taking care of each other like way more. It felt like Penta was like leading the match. Like you could just see him just talking through moves with Phoenix, like a lot more than usual. So it just kind of,
yeah.
And that really took me out of the fight. Because the ending, I thought the ending was really cool. The last like whoop-de-doo Canadian Destroyer that they did, I thought was really neat.
Sure.
And something I hadn't seen before, but I couldn't get into it, 'cause I was so worried about both of them basically.
Yeah. I was pretty bummed because I've seen them fight each other before,
yep.
And I love it because they know each other so well, and they have, and that sequence they did in the beginning of this was great, where they had the, like, I know everything you know,
yeah.
So I'm going to block everything you do and vice versa. And they kept going, which was wonderful. And then it took a halt when they went for the chopping contest.
Yeah.
That first time they did the chopping contest, they took too long. I get the thought behind it. Like, oh, let's see how much of a man you are, little brother. Okay, big brother, that type of deal. But boy, it took so long. Then he dropped. Then I think Pentagon hit it. No, Phoenix hit his head. And then it got weird. Yeah, just none of them sold anything. Like, he hit his hand. Remember when Pentagon hit his hand on the thing?
Yeah, slapped his hand on the pole.
Turnbuckle,
yeah.
The pole. And he sold it, and it hurt. Like, everyone heard it. And then he talked about it in commentary, like, oh, it's going to affect his strikes. Never talked about. See it again. There's just a few points in the match when I was like, why even do it?
I was also bummed out that he did the arm breaker move, whatever. I don't know if there's a real name to it. Yeah. The
arm snapper.
Yeah, the arm snap-o-matic.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, in Lucha Underground, that was a feared move.
That's a finish. That's finished.
It's literal finish, and that these wrestlers don't come back for 2 weeks to a month or something. Like, they're just off TV, you know. Obviously, it doesn't actually hurt them or, like, break their arms, but, like, they build it up like that. So I think that was my anticipation as well. Like, I mean, I was primed to think if you do that move, that it, and they were saying it on commentary, like, oh, he's going to break his arm. So I thought they were actually bringing that concept back. And then
I would have loved that.
And then he was just fine, and then won with a Canadian destroyer. So,
and what good storytelling that would be if he broke his, because they want Phoenix to go over. Fine. Break his arm, and then, and Phoenix didn't even sell it afterward. He didn't even sell it.
Oh my god.
So the thing is, if he sold it, if he didn't do the Canadian destroyer with one, with two arms, he used two arms to do the Canadian destroyer, Canadian destroyer too. Don't get me started. But the fact is, like, they could have had him do that, broken his arm, fake broke his arm, and then win the match with a schoolboy, distraction, something. So then when he faces Omega next week, there's a reason why Kenny squashes him real fast. You know, I want Kenny to squash him super fast. And there's a good reason, because he has a broken arm because his brother gave him to him.
Yeah, it comes in with a bandaged arm. He can bear it, like, he really sells it. Like, he just doesn't use it at all. I don't know. That would be good stuff.
If they don't show, like, if they don't pretend that it didn't happen, or they don't show the aftermath of the match, I would love for them to just have him in a sling when he comes out.
Yeah.
Or, like, a bunch of tape or something, just to sell the fact that, oh, that move will fuck you up.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah, it's a sling. I'm thinking, like, Popeye or a cartoon. It's just an entire bandaged arm. Nobody does that.
Like that?
Yeah.
Did you ever see, what is that from, Rookie of the Year?
No, what's this all, what's that?
It's a movie where this kid breaks his arm. He's a baseball player, breaks his arm, and then when it comes out of the cast, whenever he puts his arm up like this, it snaps forward, so he has an amazing fastball.
Oh, nice.
It goes 100 miles per hour, and he breaks the doctor's nose when he takes it off.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's a good comedy.
Sound off in the comments if you'd like us to do a watch-along of Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I would do that, yeah. I'll sound
That'd
off.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right, Moet. Well, we matched our first what? We had the first what? Down. Let's see if we can send this home. What's your next one?
Well, I'm looking at it all now, and I see it's all pretty petty. It's all petty issues for me. So I'll get to the petty stuff. There's one that's like,
give me some petty.
There's one that's kind of legit. So I'll start with the legit one. The ending of the show, with the ending beatdown on the FTR did against Matt Jackson. Well, both the Young Bucks, really, but breaking Matt Jackson's ankle potentially. I thought it was all phony. I wasn't into it. I thought just the execution, the whole thing was weird. I thought, yeah, it's a lot to go over, I think. Because for one, the surprise timekeeper shows up, hits very gently, grazes Matt Jackson's back with the chair. And then the commentary team is selling it. Like, whoa, who is this guy? And it's a big deal. And then you see him jump, and he jumps like he's 80 years old. He did good. But the idea of, like, who's this exciting new wrestler? A new contender emerges. And it's just...
He was in good shape.
Yeah, he did good for, like, a 67-year-old dude. Whatever age he's... What is he? 40,
like
59? 59? How old?
I think he's 59.
No, that can't be true.
He looks older than he is.
That's crazy.
I remember Tully Blanchard. But, like, I thought one of the worst part is the camera people.
They missed it. They missed his reveal, which was really disappointing.
66. I'm completely wrong. 66. Okay,
that's legit. That's a legit old man.
No, but they showed him getting into the ring. They showed him getting into the sliding in. And they didn't talk about it because they're like, oh, he went in too soon. They didn't say anything. He was in the ring for like a few seconds before they showed the hit.
Oh, damn. I didn't catch that part. That's bad, yeah. But my main issue with this, so that was just like a petty thing. I mean, it's just kind of annoying, but I'm like, fine, whatever. It's their manager. But I don't know what they expected us to do and to feel when they hurt the Young Bucks after watching them for weeks be complete dickheads to everybody that they came across and acting so, like, you know, over the other three teams that they beat up. Like, then they, like, it's almost like, good. I want, like, I don't, I lack sympathy for you getting your ankle broken because you deserve it. So I think it's like this, like, gray storytelling style that they're trying to do where, like, you can be good, you can be bad. This is what humans are like. But this is a moment where I just don't think it works. Like, it's better just be straightforward. FTR are the heels. Young Bucks are the faces. Just let them do their thing. You can't, yeah.
The tag team division is the most stacked in AEW than it is anywhere else. And I feel like it's the worst booked. Besides the parking lot match, which was a rare exception, all of it is just jamming them all together and seeing what they could do. Or having these one-off matches. No real stories. And the stories they have, like this one, FTR just wants to drink with these guys. I don't get them coming to the ring with beers.
Oh.
I don't get that.
Oh, it's just like a callback where their thing. It's like they like to condescendingly cheers their opponents. So there's not much. They did it with Kenny and Hangman like constantly.
I remember that.
Yeah, then they.
But I thought that was done.
Yeah, yeah. It was a weird. I guess they're just doing it as like a character trait now. So that wasn't. I don't think there was much more to it. I think they're just like, you know, good luck, kind of generic Southern Asheville, North Carolina boys. So yeah but yeah, otherwise I'm just not sure where they're going with it. I wish they just let the Young Bucks be heels, because that's what they declared they wanted to be. But if they do that, I don't know who to cheer for. The build up to this match just became very weird to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I don't know why I want to see FTR versus Young Bucks anymore.
Yeah, I was excited. I've been excited about it for a while, but this quick thing, it just kind of deflated it for me. But the match will still be fun. Like a lot of AEW, it's I'm starting to realize it's a lot of like, I don't like that, but the match will be good, I guess.
It's a lot of complacency.
Yeah, yeah.
That was not my next what.
Interesting.
My next what will be... okay, Eddie Kingston on commentary.
Yeah, that was mine. Oh, swerve. Mine was Eddie Kingston, but not that one. Okay.
Eddie Kingston on commentary. I don't like hearing him talk. I find him annoying, and I find him to be constantly deviating from his character. Like, I feel like he's constantly worried he's not saying anything, so he just says anything sometimes. And he, I think at the beginning of this, he said he stabbed someone in the neck. Did he start, when he first got on commentary, he said something about stabbing someone in the neck, and everyone got real quiet. And he's just like, yep, that's it, I said it. Like, it just...
That's pretty good. I did not catch that. The only thing...
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look it up, but pull a Marty Jannetty and say that you did a crime as a gimmick? Like, I don't know.
He's probably joking around. He's a good guy.
I've never heard a wrestler say they stabbed someone in the neck.
Probably not.
He's breaking ground.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't notice any issues with him, so this might be all you. The only thing I noticed was when Pentagon slapped Phoenix, I think, in the chest, and then that made Eddie go, he's my best friend. That made me laugh. Like, it's just so obnoxious every time he screams that. God. But of all the moments, it's funny. Yeah, I don't like it either.
I hate it so much. What's your next what moment?
The promo, he did apparently an amazing promo off air last week.
That they didn't show
us? It looked incredible, and they showed... Well, no, it's fine that they didn't show us, because I guess it just didn't have time. That's natural. It was just an annoyance that they kept the music running throughout it, because it felt like his first major kick-ass promo since he debuted, and they had music running through it. Like, it was so much emotion and intensity, and it felt like he was carrying the entire feud on his back at that one moment. And then we didn't get to hear any of it, so that's just a little...
Who's
annoying.
Doing the cues? I feel like that's a lot. This is a lot of the time, you know? Mm-hmm. It happens very often where these little things, and I know that they're, like, you know, it's been, like, a handful, but, like, on TV, it looks a lot... It's a lot more glaring.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my next what goes to... this is just more of a question. What is Team Taz? Like, it's not... They did fine today. They did fine. But what is it? I don't get it. I'm over Team Taz completely. They come out. No one from the group is winning anything.
Yeah.
Taz is just kind of like saying he's elite and he's the best and all this stuff. And these two idiots are just standing behind him while he just buffles around. And Brian Cage, bless his heart, never give him a mic.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he's a charisma black hole. He just takes it all. He just takes it all. It's dead. It's depleted.
They know it too. You could tell they know it. I mean, Taz didn't even give him the mic. He held the mic for him like a baby. You know, just like, here you go.
And then Mickey takes it and he goes on this whole spiel and you see Brian in the background being like, oh, he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, Cage just had his one thing to say. It's okay. Cause, I mean, it seems like they all know that he shouldn't be on the mic, which is why he's with Taz. So it feels a little unfair to like make fun of him. But it was very funny when he said his one catchphrase in a mediocre way. And Taz was like, that was great. That was great. And then just moves on. It's funny.
No, but the thing is, like, if he has that problem, don't give him the mic. Being a scary badass is much more intimidating than hearing him be like, yeah, well, who better than me?
I mean,
the machine, not you. Not you, Will Hobbs.
I guess.
Sounds like a weenie. He sounds like a weenie when he talks. So I'd rather him say nothing and possibly sound badass and say something. What is that? Better to sound like an idiot. What is that joke? What is that thing? Better to be quiet and not look like an idiot, or say something and remove all doubt?
Sure. Yeah,
it was
good
saying.
Yeah,
it's a really good saying.
Makes sense to me. That defines.
But yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not really sure what the hell they're doing. It's a little sad because I think they're both pretty good or have the potential to be incredible. But, you know. AEW is just focused on other storylines for now. Hopefully
jobbers.
Yeah, hopefully they'll give them something substantial soon, because it's frustrating. Yeah.
Well, Mo, what's your next what? What do you have any more what?
Yeah, I got one. It's petty. Because we already know it sucks. So there's no point. Darby Allin.
I can't wait for you to say it. Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. There's nothing. Yeah, I don't care. It's getting tired now. Just be like, yeah, Darby Allin sucks. So I don't know. These things are stupid. We already know why they're stupid.
No. We could go into specifics on this.
Fine.
One. Why was this video stupid, Moet?
You're getting so much joy out of this, aren't you? Listen to you. Just
no, he's a young filmmaker making these new fun films.
You're making fun of me. I hate this.
No, this is good. No,
this
tell
is exactly
me.
What
tell
I
me.
Say as
what
Kurt.
Techniques did he use?
Oh my god. All right, he is black and white because he's moody as fuck and it's stupid. The one good thing was he had Steve-O. I love Steve-O. So I was hoping for more. And it was very exciting. Yeah. It was the first person that I actually recognized. I feel so old. Being like, hey, I know that guy from my youth. The Jackass days. But
did you notice they were both winded when they started it?
I didn't notice that, no.
They were breathing heavy and Steve-O was sweating. And they never explained that.
I like that.
And it felt weird.
I like that. More of them need to start sweaty. I think that's great. I think it shows intensity. Anyways, yeah, so he
wind sprints right before the interview
So that
was a lame trick. That was a lame stunt.
It was dumb. Yeah, it just looks sad and stupid. He gets in the body bag and just falls off of a half pipe off the top. He just rolls off the what did he call it? The roll and tug.
Roll of death.
I don't know why the word tug came in. That felt
the sneaky tug, the rub and tug. What does he call it? The rub and tug?
Yeah, I don't know where my mind's going. But yeah, I don't know. It just felt sad and stupid. I don't know why he's trying to do a Jackass stunt in this.
Who's telling him these are good?
Nobody.
Someone is.
No, they're just, I think it's starting to piss me off how much freedom they're all getting. All the wrestlers.
Right?
They're all getting all the freedom in the world to do anything, which harms them in multiple ways. Harms them in this way where this guy who has a lot of creativity starts, you know, pushing out content and putting, you know, it's easy for the program to put on like a 30-second video, but it also harms people that can't do things, that can't come up with ideas, that just fall flat on their face, you know?
Yeah.
Or likewise, I've been thinking about this a lot. Like Brandi Rhodes, she has a lot of ideas that suck and they just drop them. They let her try this stuff out and drop them. Like the bunny issue, like for the last like month and a half, they were doing, Allie, the Nightmare Sisters were a thing. There was this whole thing where she seduced QT Marshall and all this thing. And then they just dropped it all completely last night. And now she's the bunny again. So I think that's like letting everyone have this creative freedom really bites them in moments when they're not, when they're people like not the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Adam Page. They all seem to have a coherent storyline for the most part.
Because they want, like, nobody wants to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because, like, the bad guy's management. Who is management? The boys. The boys are management. The boys are in the locker room, you know? There's no one being able to say, like, I'm sorry, this isn't working. Like, I feel like that's the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era was 2-3 people in creative, you know? And then there was wrestlers bringing ideas, bringing things and stuff. But they were like, yes, yes, no, 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 yes, yes, yes. And so you'd get a lot of shit on the show, but it wouldn't last too long. You know, you want to get Cleaver Beavage. What is his name? Beaver Cleavage?
Beaver Cleavage, yeah.
Beaver Cleavage. That wasn't months. That was like 2 or 3 weeks, you know? Draws puking. Just a couple weeks. You know, like, they tried things out, but they stopped it once they realized. Here, it's been months that he's been doing these garbage videos. And no one's told him, like, hey, you gotta either go to school and learn how to do this, or stop.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you gotta go to school, like, go to film school.
Yeah. You wouldn't allow a wrestler in the ring if he wasn't trained.
Yeah.
Why are you showing his poor videos where that look bad, make your company look bad, make the wrestler themselves look bad? He looks like a weenie.
I agree.
He looks like how Brian Cage sounds.
His stage presence is fantastic. Like, when he's actually wrestling, and even, like, even though it's kind of cheesy when he, like, goes down the ring with the on a skateboard holding the body bag, like, I'm into it. I think it's just that, like, riding that line of not being, like, silly or, like, but, like, kind of, it just looks cool in my opinion, you know.
Wanna hear where he would do well?
What's that?
And what I would love for him, he should join the Dark Order.
You want everybody to join the Dark Order? That's what.
No, I want them to get rid of who was that guy that was with John Silver?
Alex Reynolds.
Tonight?
Alex Reynolds.
Peace.
Nah, well, he's fine, but they're a tag team. He's rough. Work together. They're working together. Yeah. John Silver's going to bring him up. Nah, he's going to bring him up. There's
Darby Allin. Have Darby Allin go over there and just have him be in the mix. This guy that's kind of on the outside. Let him be a Sting character. Just kind of on the outside. Kind of doing his own thing, but one what? He's there to support the Dark Order because they support him. And that's what I want. That's what I want for Darby Allin.
Okay, fine.
Or give him a fun manager. He would. What? Who would be a fun manager in a world where he was still alive? Paul Bearer. Like, I would love for him to have a spooky manager so that Darby could never talk. I don't want Darby to talk ever again.
I don't think that works though, because he's. You just said he's supposed to be like Sting, and I think that's his whole thing. Is he doesn't talk. He talks very like minimal amounts. If he does. So he's supposed to be kind of the brooding, angsty teenager. Like, I think that's what, like, his strengths.
Yeah.
And his fighting style kind of has that kind of brooding teenage kind of feel of just like very feisty, all over the place kind of thing. So I don't know. If he were to go the Dark Order, I think he probably would be doing what Anna Jay's doing, which is just sitting in weird places in the background and not talking. But it would be tough because he's like a, you know, he's being pushed as one of the stars of AEW.
You know that the woman that's on Dark a lot. She's got, like, white contacts on, and she looks like she's, like, a dead doll.
You mean Abaddon?
Is that her name?
Well, she's, like, a zombie.
The zombie.
Yeah.
They should be a pair. They should be a pair. I would love for that.
Brad, what are these ideas?
These
are all over the place. Brilliant. But she...
I'm giving Darby Allin purpose.
Yeah, but I would love, Abaddon is, like, an undead zombie queen. Like, she doesn't... talk to any... She doesn't even speak English.
Let me say this.
As far as I know.
Let me say this. I think they should take her character and take it from 15 and bring it down to a 4. Because it's too much. It's too
much.
Well,
I agree with that. Yeah.
She's gone off the rails. Bring her down to a 4. Take out one of those contacts. Give her a mic. Give her a mic and have her
Wait, why did
the talking piece for Darby Allin, where she's just this... Like, I've decided it's...
Okay. All right. I can't. I'm not gonna persuade you. This is it.
I don't think you can.
I don't. Yeah. All right. Fine. This is.
Well, that's the woos and butts. That's the woos and butts.
That was very contentious, but I think we'll be okay. I think that was a good
time. I think we're gonna get through this.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna get through this. Make sure to follow us on all the things. Loser Lee's Wrestling on YouTube and on Instagram. Loser Lee's Pod and at Gmail. Please send us some questions for the mailbag. Because we're going to be hitting that mailbag hard this week.
Cool.
And make sure to review us for Christ's sakes, please review us. There's still, I know there are people that download it. I just know there are people, and I know who you are. And you've gotten texts. And you've gotten texts from me.
There you go. You tell them, Red. That was great.
Yeah. Moet, who's your favorite video game character you want to...
Oh, boy.
Shoot. Drink with.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where that was going. Duke Nukem. Hell yeah.
Are you on Jake with Duke?
Yeah, he looks insane.
And what would you say to Duke Nukem right before you got into a barroom brawl? What would you say right before? Say it, Moet.
Go get him, Duke.
Yeah, bye, everyone.
I don't remember any of his catchphrases off the top of my head. What does he say? He says, baby. He says, groovy, baby, or something like that. I don't know. All right, goodbye, everybody.